Rock and Some Rolls is a six-part radio series on limestone and limestone quarrying in Kilkenny and Carlow. It aims to show how geology shapes the landscape, buildings and art of Kilkenny and beyond.
All the contributors to this series have an undeniable passion for stone and stone quarrying. However, some people's perceptions of quarrying can be less than positive. I put this to Brendan Costello, Operations Director of Stone Developments in Old Loughlin.
There is a perception in the limestone business, as you say, when you're in a quarry, it's a big scar on the ground. What is not commonly known is in 2003, the Irish government brought in that every quarry in Ireland had to be registered, as these quarries are, the quarries we operate, were registered in 2003. And then any planning then had to be gone through when you were checked in your compliance in the planning. Part now of what the councils are looking for and which we have in place is we have a restoration plan for the quarries. When the quarries, the life ends of the quarry, that quarry then will be restored. In some cases, what will you do with it? You turn it into a lake, then plant around the edges or whatever. So we actually have restoration plans for our operation in Carlow and our operation in Kilkenny. So even though, as of now, as people would say, would call it a scar in the landscape, it will not be left behind as a scar in the landscape. Unfortunately, in Ireland, there is a history of mining and quarrying that has left phenomenal scars. But in our business, working in conjunction with the councils, both Kilkenny and Carlow County Council, these quarries will be turned into either lakes or will be into, they're still privately owned, but there is a restoration plan for both operations in place as we speak.
One quarry that was left in a state of ugly disrepair for many years was Ballykeith Quarry in Kilmarnock, County Kilkenny. I went to meet Matt O'Sullivan from the Kilmarnock Ballycallan Killaloe Community Enterprise Group to find out more.
People used to come and play here, and I think in the 70s it became the official car, you know, wrecked cars or scrapped cars, a marshalling yard for scrapped cars. So it became a haven for scrap. So it would also been used by local farmers to heal beaten. There was bushes and briars and all sorts of wildlife, and it was a bit untidy. But then in the, I'm not sure exactly when, I'd say 70s or 80s, the Kilkenny Tyndall Mountain Club, well actually Jerry Fogg really, he discovered this and started climbing it, rock climbing. And gradually it became known as a rock climbing venue. So we got involved, that we now, I mean the Kilmarnock Ballycallan Killaloe Community Enterprise Group got involved here for a millennium project in 1999. We were hoping to just to centre the parish, just to make a park, or we didn't know what we were doing. So we got a grant from Leader to do a feasibility study. And while we were doing that, actually the Tyndall Mountain Club, you know, wanted us to incorporate their use of the place in it too. So we've got a guy down from Dublin, Desmond Fitzgerald, who's a landscape architect, and just he came up with the idea of turning it into a performance space. Quarry face now is clear, right to the butt. So we created a bank, we turned it into a kind of little amphitheatre. So we moved the bank back so people could sit on it. So people really, there's a bank there created with all the scrap and waste that was in the front, which is everything from scrap cars to be to what people used to dump in it over the years. So it's all there in the mound. And we created a bank, a seated bank, and a circular stage area, a performance area. So that's what we did in 2000. Over the years we've added seating, stone seating to it. We've added a canopy, which we're standing under now as it rains. And we've landscaped it as well, and put in power and water and stuff like that in it. So it's gone from a totally different use now, from a very noisy, busy quarry back in the 40s and 50s to a very relaxed space for recreational activities now. And I still use it up by rock. Actually, rock climbers use it extensively now. There's hundreds of rock climbers come here over the year.
I said it to a fella during the week, I said, the website looks amazing for this place. It looks fabulous, which it does, like. And he's from Limerick, and he said, yeah, like, it's probably a quarry out in the middle of nowhere. He's kind of right, like. Yeah. It's a good quarry out in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, this is Cindy in Summer.
The old Ballykeith Quarry, now an amphitheatre, has hosted acts like the Saw Doctors just heard and Jack L.
The first event we had here was a free event. We had the Army Band and a group called the Four Star Trio and the Dublin Welsh Male Voice Choir. It was a free event, like, it was about 800 people here. It was not, which was fabulous. So then over the years, and we've had people like Cora Venus Lunny, Moya Brennan of Clannad, Jack L was here last year. Saw Doctors were here, Anuna, they're the group who were involved in the Eurovision with Riverdance, would have said it's their favourite venue to play in. We've had classical, traditional, we've had plays, Chapter House Theatre Group come every year for the last 4 or 5 years, either a Shakespearean or a Charlotte Bronte play. We've had family fun days, we've had old folks, you know, get-togethers, wedding photographs. We've had requests for weddings even. We haven't done any yet, but people have looked at it, but we'd be open to offers. But there's something special about it. You come here for a nice evening, or when the sun is low, or when the moon is up, and there is a kind of an atmosphere in it, and the sound in it is very good. The acoustics, you know, you could stand here and talk, and you'd be heard up at the top of the bank there.
Yeah.
I would have never conceived of it as a venue that it is now, but like it has, I think it has found its niche now.
With a small amount of building and construction work going on, and the decrease in investment in the arts, I wonder if other quarries will go the way of Ballykeith. I put this question to stone sculptor Alan Cunahan.
Well, I think people will always want to work with the material. I wouldn't have any commercial thoughts on it because I never think about the material. I never think about it commercially. It's interesting. It doesn't seem viable. I proposed a work some year, maybe 2 years ago, for a project in which I wanted to create. I wanted to carve a planet. I just wanted to work on the surface of a planet, carving craters and basically creating a planet. And it would have been cheaper for me to bring a granite sphere back to Dublin Port, almost complete, than to buy the block of stone in Kellymount or O'Loughlin. Mm. Now, I wouldn't want to do that, but I costed it. And when people consider that, it shows you the margins that they're working at. The labour costs in a place like China are for nothing. Mm. The major cost there, and the conditions are probably very poor. There's no union representation. Here, at least, I think that's where the sustainability, you have to bring those things into the equation. The people working in the quarries here, the people you know, if you start buying and bringing your material in from Spain or from China, Vietnam, which I know they're doing in looking for substitutes for Kilkenny limestone, you're putting people out of work here. Mm. And yet, what do you do if you don't have the financial resources yourself and you want to get the job? Mm. These are, you know, they're serious things you have to weigh into account, mm-hmm. you know.
Jim Kirby, proprietor of Leinster Stone, would be more optimistic, however.
That's only a short-term thing, in that you will find that wages in China will improve, and, you know, when they want more goods and services for themselves. So it's only a short-term thing. Mm-hmm. I think now that the quarries are exporting to particularly Belgium and middle European countries, that it's an industry now that can't die, mm-hmm. you know, really? in that it has established itself in face of competition from like there's cheap material coming from Brazil, there's cheap material coming from India, from China, from parts of Africa. And they're still competing because they've got such a terrific product. Mm. And it's just a pity maybe that we don't recognise it as such, the product that it is.
Mm. But it's going to be exhausted at some stage. How many years? No.
Not necessarily so. Well, when you take into account, say the first time I stepped in a quarry in Belgium, it was about 3 miles by 3 miles, right? so that when you look at, we say, O'Loughlin Quarry, which is one probably the biggest, I think it takes up a total of 25 hectares. So, you know, it's just a question of the difficulty that you have with quarrying is that it's actually mining, in that you don't know the next layer down, and you can core drill it and so on, but you actually don't know the next layer down until you start working it. Mm. And if you get two or three bad layers together, it can actually break a company, you know, because it costs so much to take it out of the ground and get rid of it in order to get down to better material. So that it's, you know, when I came to Kilkenny, the quarry in Holden's Rath, I'd say it was less than an acre. And now it's turning out huge quantities of material for Belgium. I can't see an end to it, certainly in my lifetime. but I can't see an end to it short term, because I think we are still only at the very early stages of it.
Okay. Stone Development's Operations Director Brendan Costello would be equally positive about the future of quarrying limestone, and has plans to maintain the development of the business along an environmentally friendly route.
The quarrying business is one of the oldest traditional business we have, and all quarries have a certain life. So the basic methodology behind the quarrying at the moment is to try and get the best recovery you can from the quarry to extend the life of the quarry. And we have made a decision 8 years ago. We looked at putting in windmills in the operation of Carlow and Kilkenny, but the wind speed in the two sites was too low, so they were an on-runner. We will relook at it now. But we have recently got involved with Enterprise Ireland, and we're looking at going down to a green scheme. Because, like a lot of people in business, we see an opportunity, number one, to save cost. Number two, how can we make the business more and more sustainable? So we have made this decision, we're going down this green scheme route. But from our point of view, one of our big marketing plies is we have a very, relatively speaking, low carbon footprint in our material. Unlike concrete, which you take out of the ground by blasting, we saw it. The concrete or the stone is then crushed, but then they have to add cement to bind it together. Whereas we're giving you the natural limestone. And relatively speaking, our material has a very low carbon footprint. So going forward, this obviously can be used as a marketing for Irish limestone. In one way, I would associate the stone business similar to the timber business. You're working with a natural material. So you have to have a knowledge and an understanding of your raw material to see what that can be turned into. And it can be frustrating when you're looking for particular projects and your general recovery is 25%, and then you could hit a month and you could have a recovery of 10%. You're still dealing with a client, and a lot of our clients are in the construction business, and they're ruled by a program. And our end of the business, it's back to nature. But no client wants to hear, well, there was a little fracture in that and I can't give it to you. All he wants to hear is, when can I have my stone? So you want to be passionate, or you wouldn't stick in the business too long. And the passion is the knowledge of what you're quarrying. And in one way, there's a little primeval feel to it. You're down in a quarry, your machinery moving around, it's nature laid down 330 million years ago, and you're taking what nature gave you. And it's to have the knowledge to make the best use of that material.
Rock and Some Rolls was produced by Monica Hayes, with music by Jared Manning. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.